Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Successful media and public affairs consultant, accomplished entrepreneur and national writer and contributor, attorney who served in the Missouri House of Representatives, worked in the White House and CNN, thought leader, entrepreneur, and host who takes the conversation to the next level.
Prepare to get rare access to fascinating guests.
You're connected. You have the it factor. You've joined
Grill Nation.
Everybody over there!
Get a hooter!
Everybody out there!
Do it.
Connect with Jason on Twitter at Jason Grill. Connect with the show on Twitter at Grill Nation Show and online at grillnationshow.com.
Welcome your host of Grill Nation, always dressed up and ready to go, even in a radio studio. Here's Jason Grill.
Hello and welcome to the Grill Nation Show here on KMBZ 980 AM. I'm your host, Jason Grill. Appreciate you joining us today for a great show that we have upcoming. It's going to be a lot of fun today. With one of our partners and supporters of the Grill Nation show. He's on every other month. We're happy to have him back. We're going to come on the air here with Ryan maybe here in just a second. I want to thank our partners and supporters as well, in addition to Ryan. Title sponsors of the show are Truss, MoBank, BOK Financial, and Two West Companies, and Ryan Rink. As I mentioned, guest contributors to the Grill Nation show are the Rieger and Jay Rieger & Co., Ryan Maybe, and also One Light Luxury Apartments, and as well as KCADC and the great folks over there who will be joining me here next week for their first show. As I mentioned, we have Ryan Maybe on the show today. He's with the Rieger and Jay Rieger & Co., two great companies here in Kansas City. Ryan comes on the show every other month, and he talks about kind of some of the things he's been up to, and sometimes we have a special guest, but today we're going to focus on some really cool things. We're going to talk all about some changes in downtown Kansas City. We're going to talk about Jay Rieger and Co. We're going to talk about some new things going in downtown. We're also going to talk about Ryan's upcoming trip to New York and talk about some of the different diversity we have in restaurants here in Kansas City that have been popping up, as well as talk about some exciting news with United Airlines and Jay Rieger & Co. So I want to welcome to the show, Ryan. Maybe it's great to have you back. Saw you a few weeks ago, and it's great to see you again in studio, man. How are you?
I'm great, man. Good to be back.
We have so many different topics today. What have you been up to these days? You traveling a lot? You working a lot?
I'm always traveling a lot on behalf of Jay Rieger and Company as we continue to grow. And I'm out, I'm spending most of my time focusing on distribution and sales and, getting our products in people's hands and on store shelves and on back bars and cocktail menus. So that's where I spend most of my, most of my energy. But the last couple of weeks I've been here in Kansas City and had a nice little downtime here in KC and
Weird, right?
It does, but I love it. I don't mind the travel so much. The hardest part about it is just kind of missing home, missing my dog, missing the restaurant, and being away. But I head back out on the road again this week, and then have a lot coming up in June and July.
Mm-hmm. I need to figure out who dog sits for you when you're gone.
I can make that happen. I got a couple people on reserve.
That's awesome. Brian, I want to talk to you. We've got a lot of topics today revolving around your businesses and about Kansas City and some things that have been happening in the crossroads as well as throughout Kansas City and downtown. But first off, I want to talk to you about this article that you were mentioned in the New York Times recently and one of their issues a month or so ago. Craft distillers facing lower taxes invest in themselves. You can visit this story at the New York Times. It's written by Robert
Simonson.
Robert Simonson. Mentioned Jay Rieger & Co. Tell us about that tax cut and how it is affecting you guys. I know it is with the new tax bill, right?
It was sort of.
Yeah.
I mean, that whole thing was it was a bipartisan effort with actually one of the senators from Missouri working on it, but it's been in the works for a few years. So it's something that we've been aware of that they've been trying to make happen since actually well before this big tax cut was passed. So You know, once they started working on the bigger tax bill, this part for small craft distilleries got slipped in into the whole thing and went through. But the belief was originally it was going to get passed anyway. And really,
craft beverage modernization and tax reform.
Act. Right.
Okay.
And basically, what it does is, you know, federal excise taxes on alcohol were something like $13 and some change for one proof gallon, which is 1 gallon of alcohol at 100 proof or 50%. And so that's how you pay your taxes on it, based on how much you produce, how much you sell. Mm-hmm. But with this
which is
one,
$13.50 is a lot.
It is
compared to what wine and beer face, right?
Yeah, trust me, it is a lot. It has a dramatic impact on the bottom line. It's a very heavily taxed industry because you're paying those federal excise taxes as well as local and state taxes as well. So it really does add up. But basically, what this bill did was it said if you are a small producer that produces up to I think it was 100,000 gallons. You paid, it went from that $13 down to $2.50, I think.
$2.70. That's a huge cut, man.
It is. It's massive. When you think about it, when you think about, small companies like ours, small startups, you know, independent small brands like ours, that reduction in federal taxes, it has a big impact on the bottom line. And it affected everyone, affected all producers, even the bigger producers. But the bigger producers, you know, they only see that benefit on the first 100,000 gallons, you know, when they're producing millions of gallons per year. But for a company like ours who, you know, we've got a long way to go before we even hit 100,000, mm-hmm. It really does add up. So, and it allows us to be more competitive.
So the article's really good. It's at the New York Times in their wine, beer, and cocktail section. Really cool to have you mention that article, built some relationships with in New York. So, Ryan, you have the option. A lot of people say this is going to be a 2-year, for sure,
right?
Tax cut. A lot of people are lowering their wholesale price. Some of them are actually hiring new people. What did Jay Rieger decide to do with this news?
So, there's a few different ways that you can use it. You know, one of the brands mentioned in the article, he came right out and said, you know, we just lowered our price. And he did. He lowered his price dramatically, which is, you know, will allow you to be more competitive. But I'm also kind of surprised that that was the only thing that he did. For us, the way we saw it, the value in this more than anything else was we are always continually looking to grow our brand and grow our distribution, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the time when this passed, we were really looking hard at trying to get out to California and distributing California. But with our business model and business approach, we've always said that we're only going to expand our distribution points as long as we can support them and help cultivate those relationships, meaning manpower, meaning we need more people. And so the main benefit for us was we looked at it as an opportunity to hire some more people.
Mm-hmm.
So we hired a couple of people full-time for assisting in sales. You know, the other side of it, you can look at it as a potential opportunity to invest in new equipment, bigger equipment, you know, to expand the production side of things. There are some opportunities there. But I think with it only being a 2-year reduction right now, and we're hoping that it gets extended and becomes a permanent situation. But with it only being 2 years, you know, we're not really... If you lower your prices that much, let's say you lower your prices by like, you know, 30%. I mean, it's dramatic. And then for whatever reason, it doesn't go back up, or it doesn't get extended.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden you're really going to be hurting and you're most likely going to have to raise your prices. That's something that I would never want to do. I would never want to get to the point where, because of the taxation, we're going to have to raise our prices again.
It's a real interesting article at the New York Times, and they go through all these different scenarios where Ryan, obviously, they hired, and this other guy, he dropped his wholesale price almost in half. Check it out, though. It's pretty cool that you were in the New York Times, and it's always cool to see Kansas City mentioned on a national level, man. So congrats.
Thanks.
Ryan Mabey is our guest. The Rieger and Jay Rieger & Co. are his companies. We'll be right back after the break. I want to talk more to Ryan Mabey about all these different things happening in Kansas City and also talk more about Jay Rieger. You're listening to Grill Nation.
One shot, two shot, Capitol Red. it's like sunshine and whiskey.
Welcome back to the Grill Nation Show, 980 a.m. and on iTunes via podcast and at grillnationshow.com. Appreciate you joining me again today. I'm Jason Grill. I'm your host. You can connect with me on Twitter at Jason Grill and at Grill Nation Show. Our guest today is a partner and supporter of the Grill Nation Show, a great Kansas City entrepreneur, and he is Ryan Mabee from The Rieger. If you visited there to eat, it's a great location, also Manifesto in the basement. He's also the co-founder and owner of J. Rieger & Co. So, Ryan, in your neck of the woods, there's all kinds of things going on, one of which is a hotel in the old Pendergast space. Is I'm correct about that?
Yeah, it's actually two buildings at 21st and Central.
Okay.
Right in the heart of the crossroads. So the old Pendergast distribution warehouse.
Across from Lulu's.
And the Pabst brewery, like distribution warehouse.
West Crossroads. Yeah. It's a group out of Chicago, or?
Yeah, I think so they're called Aperium. Mm-hmm. They're like a boutique hotel group based out of Chicago, and they've got some properties in New York and Detroit and I think Minneapolis, a couple other places.
It's a brick building.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah. Both buildings are really cool. One of them's two stories, and the bigger warehouse is three stories. But they have a great, you know, historic look to them. Very mm-hmm. classic Kansas City, you know, in that area, those old warehouses. I'm excited for it. I think it's, you know, this is a great example of, you know, outside investors coming in to Kansas City and mm-hmm. developing really cool projects. But, you know, what I love about it, I've met with them. I've met with the Aperium Group and had some conversations with them. What I love is that they're not trying to do something that is like, you know, their concept. Their brand, it's not a chain hotel, so to speak. It's going to have a lot of Kansas City character, and I think they're really going to celebrate the history of KC and the artistic kind of flair of the Crossroads neighborhood.
That's awesome. And, you know, I'm sure the coffee shop across the street and the restaurants love it.
Yeah, it's good more for people. Everybody, man. Yeah.
West Crossroads, I run through there once in a while, and they got the new deli down there. I think people are, there's more action down there. I really like that. And you also... We're excited about 21C, which is on the other side of downtown,
right.
In the Savoy space.
Yeah.
Again, that's been an ongoing project.
This is another really beautiful, historic Kansas City building that, you know, was probably in a pretty severe state of disrepair. And then there was a fire.
The hotel. It had a restaurant.
Hotel. But man, talk about Kansas City history. I mean, Harry Truman was there so frequently that there was a specific booth, you know, designated the Truman booth. Like that's where he always hung out. Imagine the people that went through that restaurant space, you know, from Tom Pendergast to probably Al Capone and, mm-hmm. you know, who knows who else. It's pretty remarkable.
That is cool. And I've been to a 21C hotel in Louisville.
I've been there too. Yeah.
It was really cool. The mayor actually walked us around and he was like, it was a cool concept. And he joked about how Kansas City didn't have one of these yet. And so he was better than Sly James. Mm-hmm. And they were their buddies. But then I heard we were getting one.
Yeah.
Which is really cool because the space is like an art. It's like an art. Gallery downstairs where you check in, and then it's like the hotel is pretty upscale.
Yeah, it's kind of an upscale boutique hotel concept, but I think all of their properties have an art gallery kind of
And we'll have a good restaurant, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. They're, you know, from what I understand, they're trying to maintain the historic look of the old Savoy Grill, which I think would be great to some extent. And then they're bringing in Chef Joe West, mm-hmm. Who's
been all over the place.
He's been all over KC, pretty well known, most recently at Stockhill.
Yeah.
And also Scott Tipton, a good buddy of mine, who's going to be their food and beverage director.
Okay. Where's Scott coming from?
You know, Scott's been around. He actually worked at Manifesto way back in the day. like so many have. But he was also most recently at Stockhill as their, or actually not just Stockhill, I'm sorry. He was like the food and beverage director for the whole
bread
and butter concept mm-hmm. restaurant group. And so he's done some great things, man. He's made a good name for himself outside of Kansas City in the bar world and in the industry as a cap down at Tales of the Cocktail in New Orleans. So he's got some chops, mm-hmm. some experience.
I like that. Talk to us about Manifesto. You mentioned that. Is that's still kicking it, right?
Oh,
how many years has it been there?
Well, we turned 9 in April.
Okay.
We turned 9 years old officially. And actually for the first time in our, 9+ year history, I've actually hired a general manager from outside to come in and take the reins. His name is Jay Sanders. He's now been with us for about, maybe a month, I think, 6 weeks roughly. Doing a great job. The guy is fantastic. And, you know, it just, it's one of those things that just, it just shows how, you can never kind of ease up on a small business like that. Mm-hmm. You know, you always got to be pushing forward, always looking for ways to grow and improve and innovate. And, you know, sometimes bringing in a new set of eyes can open you up to some new things. So, Manifesto is doing great, man. I'm super proud of it. It's been, I think it's become kind of a landmark, bar in downtown Kansas City, and, it's still rocking and rolling.
I love it. Ryan Mabey is with us today on the Grill Nation Show, partner and supporter, and also, awesome entrepreneur here in town. Ryan, you, mentioned, in the past, you've mentioned the streetcar and how, you know, it's progress because you're right on that line. Jay Rieger is right on that line.
The Rieger.
Jay Rieger will be there one day.
Yeah, I hope so. That'd be cool.
So they're talking about expansion, right? I mean, that's been in the works now, and they've announced some new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's been greeted with some controversy with people in Westport, obviously.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about kind of the streetcar's progress and the new stops that have kind of been proposed and announced? I know it'll be – I mean, I think – for me personally, I think this is a I mean, they'll have the vote and all that stuff. But, I mean, I think it's going to happen, right? I'm not too worried about streetcar expanding.
I'm pretty certain it's going to get passed, yeah. You know, I've talked about this, you know, till I'm blue in the face. I am a huge supporter of it. I think everybody knows that. I've been a very outspoken advocate for it from back in the early days when it was first, you know, being talked about and tossed around. And as a small business owner and a property owner in the Crossroads, you know, for the last 12 years, I have always dreamed about and envisioned downtown Kansas City becoming the energetic, you know, vibrant epicenter that it has become. And it's not just bars and restaurants, but it's everything. It's office buildings, it's residential, it's all the amenities that you need to be, to live in a real city, right? And the streetcar, you know, if you want to, you know, be negative about it and say, well, it's only 2.1 miles or 2.2 miles, or it just rolls with traffic or what. Yeah, all those things are true. But the reality is, look at the amount of development that it has spurred. Mm-hmm. It is really, really remarkable. Having started my first business in the Crossroads back in 2006 and seeing consistent growth and consistent development and things headed in the right direction, was all great up until 2 years ago, man, when the streetcar, officially launched, it just injected new life into that process, and it just started to move faster and snowball. And now it's really amazing to see the amount of progress that has come from it. And it's been a huge, benefit to our business, and I think to a lot of the restaurants and bars and small businesses down in the Crossroads. So seeing it extended from Union Station and Crown Center, where it ends now, to Plaza and UMKC, I think would be fantastic.
What do you think? I mean, most of it goes down Main Street, of course. There's the Westport people that think it's too far to have to pay
for
it.
Okay, so let me give my I'm gonna,
and I like a lot of these people.
Sure, absolutely, I love them too. I love Westport. I don't go to Westport enough, but I tell you what, I would go more if the streetcar went down. I'd go a lot more. But so that whole controversy came up in the paper a few weeks ago. You know, talking about it stops at 39th Street on Main, and that's too far to walk to Westport. Give me a freaking break. I mean, somebody I can't remember who it was. Somebody called him out on Twitter and said, the distance from the 39th Street stop on Main Street to the heart of Westport is the exact same as like walking from the Capitol Grill on the Plaza to the J.C. Nichols Fountain. And my favorite analogy was saying it's the exact same distance as Lot F in the Truman Sports Center complex parking lot to the gate at Arrowhead. It's the exact same distance. And so just a few days ago,
those things out, man.
I know, right? It's not too far to walk. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so just a week ago, I had a meeting in Westport, and it was during the day. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to test this for myself. So I took the bus. I took the MAX down to 39th Street, which is the exact same location that the 39th Street stop on the streetcar will be. Got off the bus, and I walked from that stop to the middle of Westport. Mm-hmm. It took me about 7 minutes. I mean, it's not too far to walk. It's not unsafe, and it's going to encourage development. It's actually going to benefit those businesses that are
in that area.
Yeah, like along that road that connects in there. It's going to be good for that whole area. I truly believe that, and I also speak from experience. I've seen it firsthand.
Mm-hmm. We need more people like Ryan out there talking about that, because I think, you know, I mean, the articles always are trying to get eyeballs and clicks, and, you know, I know a lot of the people that, you know, like the Kelly's people, I mean, they're good people. And so I'm hoping that people like you who have been through the streetcar process,
right,
who's literally had the actual thing being developed and built right in front of your doorstep.
Absolutely.
The Rieger for years.
Yes.
Can explain the amount of business that it's led to. And
I will also say that, you know, while the construction element of it can be frustrating at times, I mean, it is disruptive. In 2015, when that was happening along Main Street downtown and happening right in front of my doorstep, mm-hmm. was the biggest year that we ever had at the Rieger. So it did not hurt our business at all from a revenue standpoint.
Interesting stuff. Yeah, I'm anxious to see that happen, man. I'm just, you know, when you drive around Main Street, you just think of all the potential that could happen. I mean, just throughout that whole corridor and connecting places. And, you know, I mean, is it mass transit? No. But, hey, we haven't done anything in 30 years with regards to light rail, streetcar. I mean, you go down to the River Market, there's the old Casey streetcar just sitting there on the corner, and you look through it, and you're like, wow. I mean, just think of all that stuff they did back.
It's even harder to go down to like New Orleans or San Francisco and see our old streetcars that have been purchased by those cities and they're being used. They're, you know what I mean? It's got this really cool retro look and they're actually functional.
Yeah, right.
You know, that sucks.
That sucks. But hey, they looked at doing that, man, for our line, and they decided to have more modern looking ones. But Ryan Mabee is our guest today. I want to talk about some exciting partnerships that Jay Rieger has established recently throughout the country with some major organizations and also locally as well. In our next segment, he's joining us today on the Grill Nation show. Ryan Mabee from Jay Rieger & Co. and The Rieger, as well as Manifesto. We'll be right back after the break.
I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune. And we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
We'll raise up our glasses.
Welcome back to the Grill Nation show. I'm your host, Jason Grill, 980 AM KMBZ. I appreciate you listening today as well on iTunes and TuneIn Radio, as well as that online on grillnationshow.com. Very exciting show today with Ryan Mabee. It's great to have him back in studio. He's been traveling. He's a great partner and supporter of this show. He's obviously been doing very well in Kansas City and is very passionate about all the things going on right now. And as the one of the co-founders and owners of Jay Rieger & Co., he's also been working a lot in that business to build a lot of partnerships throughout the country, and one of which is kind of exciting. The Whole Foods has now opened over by UMKC. I was driving by there about 17 different times over last weekend, and it was packed. And Jay Rieger has got a little something going on with that too, don't they? There's a feature in the new Whole Foods in Kansas City.
Yeah, so you know, I don't know if many people realize this, but Missouri has some of the most lax liquor laws in the country. We should be very, very proud of that, because
we could be New Orleans,
right?
We got the jazz part, we've got the food part.
I tell my distributors in like New York and California and everywhere else that Whole Foods has a full service bar with a, you know, cocktail menu and everything, and they're just like, just baffled. They're like, how does that happen? You know, in New York, you can only, if you're a chain of, say, Trader Joe's or Whole Foods or whatever, and you have 12 locations, you can only designate one to sell alcohol.
Oh, wow.
By package. And I'm not even talking about by the drink.
Okay.
So anyway, this Whole Foods down at, 51st, down in South Plaza. It's beautiful.
Yeah. I haven't been in yet. I've driven by, but it looks
good. It's really stunning. I think it might be the first one in the country that has a full service bar.
What part of the grocery store did they put the bar in? I haven't been there yet.
I didn't make it into the grocery store part. I kind of
so it's
spent
like,
all my
it's,
time
it's
in the bar
a different part. The bar is a different part.
It's connected. I mean, it's very well integrated into it. I mean, if you go in the front door, you know, there's all like the cash registers and the checkout lines and everything, and then the bar is kind of off in the corner there at the front of the building.
Changing the lives for
outdoor seating, you know, have outdoor patio and everything. It's really well done. I mean, it was beautiful. So when they were building this one, they reached out to us a while back and wanted to celebrate, you know, some local Kansas City brands and focus on that and work with some local producers, and so we were able to make that happen. And Yeah, I mean, they opened up the bar and they have a full menu of cocktails, and they're all J. Rieger cocktails. I have to give a lot of credit to Erica Schulte for that. One of our newest full-time employees. Nice. That we brought on to help with sales and stuff. And she did a great job, curating that menu for them and training their staff, because you also have to consider that you're talking about a grocery store, mm-hmm. you know, that's not used to being in the business of making drinks and selling drinks and everything. So, they're really kind of venturing into new uncharted waters. And, we were able to help them with that because we can train their staff. We can teach them how to sell the products, how to mix the drinks and those things that their company really doesn't, they don't know how to do.
That's pretty crazy. I'm just thinking about a trend. If we're going to see more bars in grocery stores, I'm thinking about,
Hy-Vee's have it all now too.
Oh, they do. Okay.
Around the Midwest. Yeah.
That is interesting. I hadn't heard of that. That's pretty interesting. You know, as a male, you know, sometimes you don't want to go to the grocery store, or at least I don't. But man, I'll check that out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Close by, and I'm going to totally go in there and have a Rieger cocktail.
The shopping experience at the grocery store a little more enjoyable.
So, in addition to that, you've been doing stuff with United Airlines. they have Polaris lounges that have opened in San Francisco, Houston, Newark. Obviously, those are extremely busy airports. And Jay Rieger's involved.
Yeah, so that actually started at O'Hare. They opened the first one at O'Hare in Chicago last year, and it was sort of their like test market for it. Mm-hmm. So the Polaris Lounge is their new higher end, VIP lounge.
Is this like when you're waiting for your flight, you go into the Polaris Lounge?
Yes, and okay. I believe it's only in international terminals and only services international travel, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So they tested it out in O'Hare last year, and when they did that, they wanted to have a full cocktail bar as part of the experience and serve really good drinks. And so they hired a consultant to help them with that, and that consultant was from Chicago and just happened to be a friend of mine. And so he got me involved, as well as a few other bartenders from around the country, to develop cocktails for the menu. And so they ran with that last year, and I think it did really, really well. And so they decided to expand the program. And they just opened up the one in San Francisco, a month ago, mm-hmm. roughly. And the timing for that was perfect, because we had just started, distributing J. Rieger & Co. products in California, like right as that happened. And so they just basically did the same menu that they had from Chicago and replicated the whole program in San Francisco. And right now, 1 month in, they are way ahead of their projections, and they're just flying through product. So, wow. Like, they're just crushing it with Rieger whiskey. And next week, they're getting ready to do the ribbon cutting on their hub in Newark, mm-hmm. at that lounge. I'm actually going out there for that to do, their media event the ribbon cutting for the Polaris Lounge in Newark. And then Houston opens next month.
Wow. So that's good, too, because you're going to be in that New York market.
Yeah, so we already have distribution in all those markets, actually. Mm-hmm. So New York... Newark, New Jersey.
But just think about all the people that travel through Newark.
You know, that's the thing. We look at these things not necessarily as, okay, cases sold, you know, revenue, bottom line. It's not that as much as it is, notoriety or recognition, like the exposure, the amount of impressions that we're going to get on, you know, to people that are traveling. If they see it all the time, you know, the more they see a brand, and I think it's like that with anyone, it's sort of a psychological thing. The more you see a brand or something in front of you, the more you start to accept it as just being part of your surroundings and something that, I've heard of Jay Rieger. I know Jay Rieger.
You guys had a cocktail on the menu at one point too at United, right?
Well, we still do.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's
I go in there, I can order a Jay Rieger.
Well, actually now they changed it. So with all the new locations opening up, we're now the house old fashioned. So if you just go into the Polaris Lounge cocktail bar and you want an old fashioned, you're going to get it with Rieger whiskey.
Wow. United Airlines, if you have the chance to travel, do that, and you can get a local Kansas City flavor. And I just agree with you so much on impressions, man. I mean, I remember, you know, before this kind of industry kind of took off, I'd go travel and everyone would know about a certain whiskey from a certain place.
Right.
You know, you go to Utah, they have that High West or whatever
right.
it's called. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Like, you know, and now you're going to be seeing Jay Rieger everywhere, which I think is really cool.
We're trying, man. I hope so.
People that come to Kansas City obviously are going to take it as well. And then you guys have some new distribution channels. I want to mention those on this segment and get into those. A partnership with Hy-Vee. So you guys are really conquering the grocery store industry lately.
Yeah, it's not something I ever really predicted would happen or thought about. But, you know, Hy-Vee has been a great partner so far. They've been, you know, they've got a
up
lot
in
of
Iowa, right?
Well, they're based out of Iowa. But they're in, I think, six states or seven states. And so we're with them in all the states that we have distribution in. So Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois, Missouri, Kansas, and then they've also got Iowa and the Dakota or South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Don't have North yet.
No. But they're based out of Iowa, and I think they've got something over like over 100 stores in the state of Iowa. And so based on the success that we've had with them here in Missouri, Kansas, and the other states, they've asked us to pick up distribution in Iowa so that we can go into all of those stores as well.
Really?
Yeah.
That's exciting.
So that's actually it's been in the works for a while. So Iowa's a wacky state to deal with legally.
I can't wait to get a job as your lobbyist one day.
Right.
I'm gonna apply for that job. Once you guys get more tax cuts, I want to be a lobbyist consultant for you guys. You guys, I mean, all the different state laws, it's unbelievable.
Every state's different, and you have to deal with them. Every one of them on a state level.
Speaking of different states that have different laws, let's go to California, where there's a lot more taxes and a lot more.
But that's
maybe not in your industry.
But that's not true in our industry.
That's
in
good.
Fact, doing business in California, from our perspective, is far more accessible and far easier and more friendly than some states that like Texas, for example, or Kansas, you know, yeah. Like the there's a lot of barriers to entry there.
So,
whereas California's pretty easy, man.
So it's been easier. You just came back from there recently, right?
I've been there a few times in the last couple of months because mm-hmm. we just kicked off distribution there.
And how's
I'll be
that
going back soon. So far, so good, man. We're off to a really fast start there.
Start in Northern California or Southern?
Well, you know, when you get set up with a distributor in a state and you get licensed in a state, you're in the whole state.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as me focusing my efforts and our distribution efforts, it started out in San Diego and L.A., and then 2 weeks later, I hit San Francisco and Sacramento.
Mm-hmm. Sacramento's a cool city that's growing, man.
Quick story, though. This was really kind of fun. When I went to Sacramento, and I just spent one day there distributing and working with some buyers there, but we had somebody send us a copy of a Sacramento newspaper from 1910.
Hmm.
It's called the Sacramento Bee from 1910. And it was a liquor store ad from a Sacramento liquor store that advertised Rieger's Monogram whiskey back in 1910.
Holy crap.
And so that was really fun to go around and show bartenders and buyers and people in Sacramento like, hey, you know, this is my first time here, but our brand was here over 100 years ago. You know, it was really neat.
That is cool. Just such a good little, you know, momentum to have to show
yeah.
to people. So you've been in the California world. I mentioned it's easier. That's good to know. You started in Southern California. Was there reasoning behind that, or it's the way your schedule
just
worked
timing,
out?
Just scheduling. You're always juggling your schedule with the distributors and their needs because they have other suppliers they have to take care of. So just it was just sort of coincidence.
Is that going to continue to be one of your major targets growing in California?
It's what, the fifth largest economy in the world? So, yeah.
I just didn't know if they drink as much bourbon as Midwesterners do.
Hey, man, they're rocking rocking with the gin right now.
Are they?
So we want to keep that going.
It's kind of a Euro thing,
yeah.
too, gin.
Yeah.
I think gin's coming back, man.
In a very big way.
It's a good summer drink. Throw it into a Moscow Mule.
Yep.
Good stuff. Ryan Mabee is our guest today on Grill Nation Show, partner and supporter of the show. Check out his companies. One is Jay Rieger & Co. at jrieger.com, and also The Rieger, great restaurant in Kansas City, theriegerkc.com. We come back with Ryan. There's a couple more things I want to talk to him about today. Why Jason Birdie's moving, potentially the Negroni Week, his trip to New York coming up, and more talk about Kansas City downtown development and restaurants growing in Kansas City. You're listening to Grill Nation. Welcome back to the Grill Nation Show for our final segment of this show with Ryan Mabee. You're listening to 980 AM KMBZ, or appreciate you joining us on iTunes via podcast or at grillnationshow.com. Appreciate all my partners and supporters, one of which is Ryan Mabee, Jay Rieger & Co., and The Rieger KC. Ryan, I saw this story in the Star or something the other day, maybe it was online, about YJs and Birdies. That was YJ's is one of the first places in the Crossroads I can remember late night eats.
It's iconic, man.
Yeah, right. What's going on down there, man? What have you heard?
I don't really know, but it's a little bit concerning. You know, from what I understand, I read the same article you did. You know, the building, there's two buildings connected right there on that corner, was purchased, you know, by an outside developer, and it appears, I don't think it's finalized, but it appears that the tenants in that building, you know, YJ's and Birdie's and Oracle, mm-hmm. It appears that they might have to relocate, which I think would be really terrible if that were to happen. I would hate to see that because, you know, especially YJ's, I mean, being an anchor in the Crossroads and in the overall development of the Crossroads and being sort of a great embodiment of what the Crossroads really means to Kansas City. It would be really sad to see him go.
Yeah. I remember when there was a time where I worked down there and I couldn't get lunch anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd go to YJ's. I mean, or breakfast.
Yeah.
Or there just was nothing yet there.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was living there 10 years ago and there were plenty of Saturday and Sunday mornings, afternoons where, you know, you could, you know, roll a bowling ball down Main Street or Baltimore, you know, and not hit anything. But, you know, YJ's was always open and very reliable.
Got to support YJ's and Birdie's before the potential news of them moving. Hopefully that doesn't happen. Ryan, what is Negroni Week, man? What is that all about?
Negroni Week is a promotion that was started by Campari and Imbibe Magazine several years ago as a means to... Ultimately, I think it means to sell more Campari and get more people reading Imbibe magazine. But basically, it promotes the Negroni, which is a classic Italian cocktail. It's a really delicious cocktail when made right. And just a three-part drink using gin, Campari, and sweet vermouth. Bold, bitter, refreshing, great stuff. Anyway, it's a week every June where bars and restaurants around the country can embrace it and promote a Negroni on their menu or a Negroni riff on their menu and then make a donation of their sales to a charity of their choice. So
are actively involved in that?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're actively involved in it every year. We have been every year. We'll promote it at both the Rieger and at Manifesto. There's some cooperation with the local USBG chapter to help get the word out and spread the word. So, I don't know, it's kind of a fun, lighthearted thing that allows bartenders to get together to promote a great classic drink and give back to the community.
I definitely want to come in and try one of those. I don't know if I've ever had one.
Oh, man.
I'm sure I've had one over the years.
Have to change that.
I'm going to have to come and sit at your bar and try one of those.
Please do.
And when is that happening?
Well, you can get a Negroni any day you want.
Yeah, when does the charity thing happen?
It's next week. It's June 4th. June 4th through the 10th.
Okay, cool. I'll definitely have to check that out. Ryan, every year you, or not every year maybe, but you have gone on a Visit KC trip to New York to showcase Kansas City. Tell us about that. I know that's upcoming and kind of what you do while you're at this trip.
It is coming up, and I think they're going even bigger and better this year. So it's a cooperative thing between Visit KC, the Visit KC website, and then KCADC, the Kansas City Area Development Council. Mm-hmm. So the purpose really is to kind of both promote Kansas City and market Kansas City to the media. Mostly it's a media-focused event to shine a little bit of light on the creative people in Kansas City, so chefs and musicians and entrepreneurs and brands and things like that. So we'll obviously be focusing on Jay Rieger cocktails and that kind of thing. That's why I'm going out there. I'll be making drinks and serving Rieger cocktails. But then, you know, the KCADC's mission, I think, is mostly focused on getting businesses to relocate to Kansas City or open satellite offices here and do business in Kansas City. So mm-hmm. It kind of works. They kind of attack it from both sides, you know, getting businesses to work here as well as promoting the cool things that are happening here.
What types of people show up to you? Who are you serving at these events?
It's mostly media.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's almost the majority of the guest list is media. It's meant to get the attention of national media to promote Kansas City. And it makes sense. It's a really great idea. When I talk to other cities, you know, and people that do this kind of work, they say it's common for cities to fly journalists and like select one or two journalists and fly them to their city and show them a good time and take them around, try to get them to give coverage. But what the KCADC and Visit KC does is really unique in that they say, we're going to bring Kansas City to you, you know, because think about it, you know, the majority of the journalists and people that, you know, write for media outlets, in this country are going to be in New York, mm-hmm. or maybe on the West Coast or maybe Chicago. So instead of picking out one or two and bringing them here, we take a group of professionals to Kansas City and we throw a party.
That's pretty cool. I'd like to check that out.
Yeah.
You just take Kansas City on the road.
It's Kansas City on the road. It's a lot of fun, man. I mean,
great venues, I'm sure,
you know,
too.
They pick a great venue in Manhattan, and I think it's a rooftop. We'll have some outdoor area. They're taking the band Hembry this year, which Hembry is a local band that's starting to get some pretty big national attention. So it'll be all about Kansas City food, Kansas City music and art and drinks and the whole thing.
Speaking of Kansas City food, Ryan maybe is our guest. New concepts downtown. There's more diversity. We have a Korean barbecue restaurant, a Puerto Rican restaurant. Talk to us about that.
What I think is really great about that, and I haven't been into either one of those yet, but I'm looking forward to checking them out. What's really great about that, what that says to me is 5-10 years ago, the local small business entrepreneurs that were trying to open up restaurants and concepts in downtown or in the crossroads were kind of high end, high profile, chef driven type places, like my place, like the Rieger, like Manifesto, like Michael Smith, mm-hmm. or whatever. But now you're starting to see so much infill, and you're starting to see a lot more diversity in these little places, like a Korean barbecue joint. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, it might be the first one that we've had in Kansas City, which is really, really cool. If you've never been to a Korean barbecue restaurant, go, because it's really, really fun.
I saw that. I drove by that the other day.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever been to a Puerto Rican, specific restaurant, but that's exciting. It just shows that there's now enough density, or we're getting to the point where there's enough density that there's demand for more. There's mm-hmm. demand for more than the high end restaurant, but those
the high
basic,
ones still exist.
Absolutely.
They're still growing novel,
absolutely,
novel.
Right.
Novels down there, off the plaza, you have Restaurant 1900 and Black Dirt, which I haven't tried either of those yet.
I was at Black Dirt last week. It's beautiful.
Is it
very,
beautiful?
Very cool. Yeah. And I haven't been to the restaurant at 1900 yet. But anyway, it just shows that there's it shows that, you know, we're starting to have the need for more amenities, more fast casual type stuff, mm-hmm. just for, you know, just daily lifestyle.
That's what people want downtown.
Right.
They have office down there and they want something kind of local but not chainy.
Right.
They want a fast place.
You can't have every restaurant be a special occasion mm-hmm. restaurant. You know, you have to have stuff that's going to suit the everyday need.
Yeah. Take your coworkers out to lunch. You don't want to maybe spend a fortune either. I mean,
right.
You want to go somewhere where you can get a good lunch under $15 and, you know, make it not be a couple hour experience.
Exactly.
Well, that's really cool. Ryan maybe has been our guest co-sponsor and guest co-host and partner of the Grill Nation show. Check him out on Twitter at Roundtable Rye. He's also all over the internet with TheRiegerKC.com and JewRiegerCo.com. Ryan, I appreciate you coming on the show and for your support. And man, you're a busy guy. Excited to see
you.
Next time we talk on the show, you're going to have another 100 partnerships and new things going on. But congrats
we'll
on all your success, man. This is a lot of fun.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to Grill Nation Show. Appreciate you joining us again this week. We'll see you next week. Hope you enjoyed the show today. Have a good one, guys. Talk to you soon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.